Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Coach. You know you're still floating from that victory over the weekend.
Man, every Friday. Every Friday I wear my attire for my job.
Okay.
But then some Fridays I rock that green and white. Not Reese Buffer green and white. I rock that Michigan State green and white. Go green, go white.
Go green, go white.
Man.
24-point underdog.
Man, 10-1 odds of trying to win it. 9-1. So if you bet $100, you won almost $900.
You got a nice payday.
And what I enjoyed, Melvin Tucker has the same ferociousness as a Nick Saban. When they make a good play or something, he got that scowl. Even though he had that Kobe mask on,
you know what was going on underneath the mask.
The fist was pumping. He was in a huddle like he was a player. I saw him. He was grabbing guys, throwing them out there like, "Hurry up!" Almost catching violations with seconds. I'm looking like, "Wow, he's into this." And he even calmed his quarterback down because his quarterback was ready to let it start flying. Because he knew it. Rocky knew it. Like, hold on, I can run this score up.
Okay.
Coach is like, let's be a little conservative. I don't want you to throw the game away. But Rocky, look, I'm so proud of Rocky.
Yeah, he deserved that. From a horrible game to a good game.
Man, yes, he did.
Yeah.
And when we watched the first game when they played Rutgers, I looked, I say, they running some nice plays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I say, there's some nice sets they running.
They just wasn't used to running them at live speed. That's
right.
What it was, man.
And you know, D'Antonio always had that. He had a couple series. He'd do some things. He had some nice trick plays.
Oh,
but
yeah.
My man was going in his bag because the DBs and the cornerbacks or whatever secondary Michigan had.
They're playing man-to-man. You can't do that.
They had to go like the Seahawks. They had to go in a zone.
You have to go in a zone. You got them dangerous receivers, man.
Man, and then a freshman. Looked like he was the best player, Ricky White.
Ricky White, yeah.
Unstoppable.
So, they got that monkey off their back.
Yeah.
You know, after that first game, I'm sure people said, maybe we made a mistake by hiring this guy. But he took all that doubt away after that Michigan game.
Yeah, he did. And then, here's the streak. For the last 12 times we played Michigan, I think Michigan State has 9 of those games.
Is that right? Okay.
Harbaugh been around for how many years? 4 or 5?
I think 6.
Oh, so he like 4-2. Something he like 2-4 against Michigan State.
Something like that, man.
Man, that's got to hurt. But at least they got the Jordan brand. I said, hey, at least it's Michael Jordan on your shirt. Michael Jordan ain't never lost. So you can have him on your shirt. So I'm going to stop grilling my community because I know we got a lot of Walmart Michigan fans here. So
Walmart Michigan.
So we might end up getting popped by Indiana, and y'all hearing this like, look at how Chauncey talking crazy. But
okay,
I'm a true Spartan fan, alumni, and that's all I got when it comes to college paraphernalia. That's all I'm wearing. And I wear the stuff that at the school I work at, the Big Red. So if you see me out in the streets with anything else on, it's got to be a kid probably going to that school, but you're not going to catch me probably in it 2 times in a row.
That's a good combination you got there, my friend.
Yep, so That was an enjoyment and a good thing. And the Big Reds won their first playoff game, right?
Yep. They started the playoff campaign with a win Saturday afternoon of the beautiful day. And we'll do it again this week against the Cedar Springs Redhawks.
So, they walked over here last year, didn't they?
No, you know, the last.
A year before last. We played them.
Yeah, year before last it was.
Yep. And it was all right the year before last.
Yeah. Yeah, they normally have a good program.
I think they was undefeated the year before last when they came.
Yeah, they were.
Yep,
they were, man. But, you know, they got this kid, Miles Walton, on Muskegon that's just like, he's the playmaker, man. You know, that's all I can say. If you put the ball in his hand, he going to make a play. So, whatever happens on Saturday, just got to make sure that he get touches. Because he don't count his touches. He just make his touches count. So that's the kind of guy you want handling the football, man. So, yep. Got some high school football going on. Got quite a few teams still in the race. So this time of the year is always fun and exciting for the community. And we'll just hopefully everybody win and keep going forward into the playoffs.
That's right. So when the championship game going to be?
November 4th and 5th.
December 4th and 5th?
December, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're in November now, so we played a whole month of November, and then we continue to win. We have all home games, one semifinal at neutral site, and then it's the championship game. And hopefully it will be at Ford Field. That was being negotiated because of money. Folks at Ford Field wanted some money, and the Michigan High School Athletic Association said they didn't have any money. So I'm sure they found somebody to come up with the cash to allow these kids to play indoors. Championship game. I mean, right now we're being blessed with beautiful weather, but this is Michigan. That can change overnight. So, but this weekend is supposed to be another beautiful weekend, and we, you know, hopefully have a good turnout, good game, and continue to move on.
Yes, yes, yes. So there it is, like you said, and having the weather and then having the need for speed, ground attack with the turf.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not in Grand Haven?
Not going.
So let me ask you this question. So, like, you know, the perspective now. Like, all right, we're going to Grand Haven again. We're going over here. We got to do all this in Grand Haven. So how is the mystique and the environment now?
Well.
In the stadium and all that. Even though it's not, you know, we're in a COVID social distance world.
Yeah, it's limited.
But what's the culture now that in the playoffs with the Big Reds being at their own stadium?
Well, one thing is that your practices are more structured. You know, before, we'd have to get on a bus, take the kids down to Grand Haven to practice, bring them back. And that's just a lot of going on, especially when you throw in daylight savings time. You know, it's pitch black when these kids get back to the stadium. And this was like every day almost. So now they just can get into a routine every day of having their practices at their home facility and, you know, have a real system to preparing for Saturday. So that's really the only difference now is not playing Friday nights, but playing Saturday afternoon, which I'm okay with that. Okay, because at some point in time in the playoffs, you always go to Saturday afternoon games. So I think it's just going to help, like you say, from the psyche, just being at, you know, you get out of, if you're in class, you come to the stadium, get your gear on, you go to practice, leave practice, go home, hopefully do your homework, get something to eat. So your routine is not as difficult, if you will, than when you have to pile them all on a bus. And if you can't get buses, you got to get cars. And just that whole travel to Grand Haven was just not conducive to have everybody ready to play. So
I ain't even look at it like that. I remember they always went over to Grand Haven practicing.
Yeah, you either go to Grand Haven. They went to a couple of indoor practices at Norton Pines.
Yep, yes, they did.
They'd even go to Grand Valley just because of the surface that they could use to practice on. So, but as long as the weather's like this, they'll be at Hackley Stadium practicing every day.
Wow.
So it's all, you know, it's all good. Works out good. And one neutral site, if the team that I think is going to make it is DeWitt, which is by Lansing, chances are that game would be played at East Kentwood in Grand Rapids, and then the next game, Ford Field.
I think that would be our toughest competition in the playoffs.
Up to this point, yeah, because chances are we'll play Zeeland West again.
It's hard to beat somebody twice, though.
Yeah, but they caught us. You know, we didn't play well at all that night. Kids did not play well.
That was homecoming, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was homecoming. It was homecoming. So
they had their outfits on playing. That's what they.
Yeah,
and their slippery shoes.
A distraction going on, but yeah. I think that the they don't want to see Muskegon again either. They were close to winning, and they've never been a close game. So
they got too excited.
Right now, these Big Reds are starting to gel, man. Got to watch out.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So then now, remember, I seen the momentum always pushing towards. Thanksgiving weekend, got to get my hotel room.
Nah, not this time. We'll be at home Thanksgiving this time, man. Yeah. We'll probably play a game that Saturday, which would be the DeWitt game, semifinal.
Okay.
And then the following week would be the final. So there'd be no need for a hotel this time until December. And then that's going to be kind of iffy because I know some hotels are not, you know, operating at full capacity. So, you know, COVID might play a part in that where, you know, people that would normally stay may just go for the game and drive back only because of hotel capacity.
What we've been doing for our tailgate, me and my wife, we just, like, we get a hotel and nobody's there.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
I think we stayed somewhere, what, 2 weeks ago? It was like, it was cheap, and it was like a 4 or 5 star hotel almost.
Nobody was there.
It was out by the airport, one of the airports. Not here, but it was. I was like, man, this is real nice. Uh-huh. They walk in the hallway. It's a couple people there.
Yeah, it was. I went to Detroit a couple weeks ago, and the same thing. The restaurants were, you know, closed in the hotel.
Yeah,
that was.
No, we had one where the restaurant was open.
It was open. Yeah, okay, was the ones we stayed at were not open. So.
Yeah. Yep, so I enjoyed that. You know, sometimes you got to get away just to.
Oh, absolutely, man.
But I noticed that, and then the prices were a lot different, too. It was a lot better.
Supply and demand. When the demand is low, you have to lower your prices. Demand is high, you can jack them up. So, yeah, they just want people to come out and stay in their hotels because people are not doing it because of COVID. And then and whenever, you know, I always ask, what's your COVID policy? And the one hotel said, well, each room is definitely vacant for 24 hours. So before, you know, you would come in, they clean it up, and then they stick you right in the room. Well, now it's a 24-hour window where they go in, clean, sanitize, and what have you, before the next occupant would come in. So that has changed as far as the hotel occupancy goes. Yeah, well,
I saw that the remotes was in, like, a plastic that you could tear off.
Yeah.
Trash bags was, like, a certain way. Soaps and things was a certain way. In the bathroom, the way the beds was fixed. So it was all set up for safety of someone. Then they had signs posted throughout the room.
Got to have your mask when you go out, you know, hand sanitizer throughout the building.
Yeah, they had some in the hotel, right, in our room. So I saw that, and I appreciate that. I'm like, well, for me, I'm like, well, I'm going to come back here again.
Oh, no doubt, man, because it's, you know, we're seeing a spike in the number of cases that come up. I talked to somebody that works at the hospital, and they said Mercy is basically full. As far as patients with COVID-19.
Okay? Wow.
And that's throughout the country for the most part. So, it has, you know, and they always talked about a second wave would come in the fall of the year. Dr. Fauci, who I think is a really stand-up guy, doctor, that just he's a straight shooter. You know, and like he told the number 45, he told him, he said, when I speak about what's happening, he said, it's not personal. It's just the truth. That was the line out of The Godfather.
That's why he said, that's why Trump said, I'm going to fire you now because you're telling the truth.
Right.
He was like, fire Fauci, fire. I'm like, for what? For telling the truth?
For telling the truth. You worked under 4 administrations, and now this guy want to get rid of him. Yeah. It's just business, man. You know, he handled his business. And 45 don't want to hear it. He wants you to say what he wants you to say. And Fox is not that guy. He's been his own man, and he's going to continue to be that. And that kind of takes us into the election because Joe Biden said that, you know, if he's elected president, his job is safe versus old dude talking about firing him. So I really didn't think the elections would be as close as they are, to be honest with you.
Yes, sir.
I was surprised at this. It just tells me two things. One is this country can easily be persuaded, mesmerized, hypnotized with language that is not, to me, that's not related to politics.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Making it personal.
Right. You know, the personal attacks that he goes on, the name calling that he uses, just very unorthodox. The
race baiting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Very unorthodox type of a. You know, he's like a snake oil doctor you used to see back in the day, right? And people were mesmerized by these people because of their language and how they acted. And that's what this country has succumbed to. Whereas, you know, Biden to me is just a man of character. And basically, you know, he's going to tell you the truth. And he seems to be an honest guy. And it still blows my mind that this race is this close with everything that has happened in this country over the last 4 years.
And I always tell people this. Small town America always tells you how the rest of the country thinks.
Oh, absolutely. It's a small sampling.
That's us. Small town America.
Of
what
the country is doing.
Because we were what? What were our ending polls? 49 something?
Well, yeah. It was like Republican, yeah. Yeah, for the most part, it's Republican. And
for the county, it was like 100,000 split right in the middle almost.
Yep.
20 people almost that divided it.
And for years, this was a, you know, somewhat of a Democratic county. Kent County has always been a Republican county, but Muskegon was more or less a Democratic. So, you know, and then they ask, what's the attraction? And they say, well, the lower tax base, what he's done in the Middle East, what he's done to secure our borders, and these kinds of things is what attracts them. And along with that, that language, the hidden messages in his dialogue also attracts these people as well.
They like the show he had called The Apprentice.
Right. Yeah.
That's, it's just, I'm saying that giggling because some people not even move by politics. They move by celebrity.
Absolutely. They are.
And that's a society issue.
It is.
Because some people, I'm going to say this. Some people need approval.
Yeah.
So when you got somebody that's running for something that can give you approval, and he said this. He said, don't do absentee votes.
Right.
Show up the day of the polls so we can rock the vote.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that sound like, man, that sound like, nah, man, that's
well, some. You know, the thing is, man, when it came to the absentee vote, the design of it was to reduce the amount of people that go to the polls because of COVID, all right? And then when we look on the news and you still got people standing in line for 2 and 3 hours in this day and age, makes no sense at all, okay? And just we're just grateful that we had good weather. But you shouldn't. It shouldn't take that long to cast a vote in this country. I mean, we put a man on the moon. But you mean to tell we can't refine our election process to the point where it takes an individual at best 15 minutes? Something wrong with that picture.
Your taxes online.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the app.
Okay.
So it's like you can't vote that fast. You know? That's.
Mm-mm. No, it's going to be corrupt. You know, it's going to be corrupt. And, you know, it took all the sorting machines out of the post office, you know, made a mockery out of the postal service in this country. Tried to suppress voter. That's what voter suppression is. Is I want to make it so difficult for you to vote that you change your mind. And I read an article today, which really disturbed me. Was like the in Cleveland, Ohio, the black voter turnout was at all time low. Now how can that happen?
Where
in that? Cleveland.
And LeBron been pushing so hard to help make sure his people was on the point.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of absentee ballots that wasn't counted.
Well, I hope so. Because in this day and age, there's no excuse for you not to be able to meet last year or last election or election before that numbers as far as participation goes. It shouldn't be going down.
I'm going to share something with you, a way of thinking for some people, Tony. And it's sad. It's like I got me and you are in a dungeon.
Okay.
And I'm in a dungeon with you. But when you go to sleep, I got a key to get out.
Okay.
Every day.
All right.
And then I've been doing it so long that I'm like, I'm finna leave for good.
Okay.
So I've been trained to the way of being out of this dungeon. I know how to get out of it. I get out of it every day. I done figured it out. I know what's around. I know the things that's better if I get out of this dungeon when I get out of it every day. So so now one day I just tell you, Tony. Hey, man, I got a key, Tony.
Okay, let me go with you, bro.
But hold up. That's not the thinking.
Okay.
I got a way, Tony, to go. That's not the thinking. They not going to say, hey, Tony, take this key. I ain't never coming back.
All right.
So I give you the key, and what you'll do with the key, just hypothetically on what we talking about when it comes to voting, you'll make the key a necklace and never use it.
Okay.
You'll wear it on your neck and say, what's that? Oh, man, it's the key to my.
It's the get out. It's the get out key.
I got it right here, man. You know, my one boy gave me this key.
In other words, you should be using the key.
Nah, I got it on my neck, man. I'm rocking this. It's sweet, ain't it?
Okay.
Yeah. So the mindset. In the whole plot of voting, because I'm saying this, I had the same thinking till I started looking at the culture, the aspect, instead of just seeing myself as one person. I'm like, no, I'm a movement. I'm a whole movement.
Okay.
Because it's a ripple effect. If somebody see me getting out the dungeon every day with a key, and you my roommate,
yeah,
somebody else in that dungeon too now, it's just me and right. you. And they're like, where he going?
Okay. How he get out?
Every day. Somebody else other than you see me.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you being noticed, and that's just way of life. When you and don't think people watching, they watching.
They listening to the conversation. They like, oh, he done gave him the key on his neck.
Okay.
So that person go ask you, Tony, hey, you ever said, man, it's the key to get out of here. So that person got a vision for themselves. Like, it's the key to get out of here.
Hey, but you're not using it.
Hey, when you go to sleep, I'm coming to get that key from you.
Yeah.
You don't want to use it. I ain't coming back either. And that's how I look at voting. Voting is a key to empowerment. And then people can track how many years in a row you voted.
Oh, yes.
And they do
it. Matter of a record. Yeah, I got a letter in the mail the other day that basically stated, showed me my voting record.
People do it.
Years gone by.
They check up on you.
And I was there every year.
They don't ask you who you vote for.
No, it like, don't matter.
So are you a voter? Certainly. Yeah. And then you can go look that data right up. This address or this person been voting every time. You can go back 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about that, somebody talking about my rights. I'm a citizen. I deserve. No, the right you have is the right to vote.
Right to
then
vote.
The other citizenship come along with that.
Right.
Because you
we're watching.
You push that button to say, I got this duty, this mm-hmm. responsibility. It's an expectation on my life to do it.
That's right.
So when somebody right. called me on it, I'm like, check my record. Check my track record. That's what it means.
That's what it means, man. You know, it was amazing that Shaq came out and said that he had never voted. I don't know if you see that article.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, and it's like, I thought about Cat Williams.
Bugaboo.
Cat Williams said, I don't think I'd have told that.
No, I wouldn't have told that either. Okay. Make you lose all respect for you.
NBA style.
Possum man.
Evidently, he was above voting. But whatever, yeah. you know.
Don't affect me.
Don't affect me. That's for the peons to do.
Man, that's, no. Tony, that's one of the funny. One of the funniest interviews I've ever seen with and like what I say, Shaq and them, stay in your place. Because you are that. You are an entertainer.
Yep.
That's what you are. And that's the struggle LeBron has. He tries to speak out on issues, political-wise, and they be like, hold on, athletes don't do nothing.
Right. Y'all live a lavish lifestyle.
Yeah, y'all ain't got no history of saying anything ever.
Right.
But what you talking about, LeBron? So then when you go to the bubble, all of them didn't even vote in the bubble.
Well, I can believe it.
All the guys didn't vote, but they out there rocking around with jerseys, Black Lives Matter, and all these things. And I'm not coming down on a group of people that looks like me in a demographic. I'm not doing that.
But you're trying to make a point.
Yep.
The point is, regardless of what your status is, at some point in time, whatever happens in this country, you'll be affected one way or another,
and
whether
then,
you believe it or not.
Just because you got the key, your cousin in the dungeon.
Okay. Yeah. It's just like some of our artists came out in support of Trump.
Lil Wayne. He's a fool.
And the reason was because of the tax cut.
Yeah, circus man.
Okay. But that's a very small percentage of the population that really benefited from that tax cut. Your everyday working person, trust me, didn't. But yet now, the thing that they don't want to talk about is the country right now, our debt is the highest in the history.
All they do is print money, man.
Okay.
That's all they doing, Tony, is printing money.
So this is like fool's gold, man. Somewhere down the road, that we got to pay that back.
Some people just not seeing their tax returns now for a Christmas present, for real. I remember growing up, and I used to hear from my friends, because my parents retired, so I didn't see a tax return in my childhood. I was second grade. Both of my parents retired, so I didn't know what tax return was unless my sister and them got them. So I remember, some people got their tax returns, some of my clients, In November. I'm like, wow. So I'm like,
what happened?
Now it's like, you can say, my wife used to say during tax time, we do the financial, because I got 11 solid ways to build your wealth. We're going to get into that, but we got like 5 minutes in this particular show. But I remember him being around some of my friends, and mom say, all right, I'm going to get your Christmas present when I get my taxes. So now if you got your taxes in November, you can get the Christmas presents on time now. Thank you, 45. And I remember hearing that. Like, When I get my taxes, I'm gonna get you some more Christmas. I'm gonna get the real gift I'm supposed to get you. So now people getting their taxes. I know you crying laughing. But because you know heard people do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I gotta get my kids a Christmas because they didn't have a Christmas, and I'm gonna take my taxes.
And give them their Christmas.
But so the kids having Christmas in February. Not the taxes come in November from 2019. So now the parents be like, I can go Christmas shopping and really be on time. Thank you, 45. So the people that's supporting 45, he made it where the stimulus and your tax check line up with your Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Another disturbing.
That's almost a whole calendar year.
Topic I heard was a lot of states are moving towards that stimulus money, making people pay it back.
That's right. Because some people didn't have no job, nothing.
No, man.
And it threw them some money.
And there was supposed to be another stimulus package come along, which hasn't happened. You know, so we got a lot of stuff going on in this country, man.
And then some people voted for Trump again for the stimulus for $1,200.
Oh, come on, man.
I give you $1,200.
Really?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't gonna take me a long time, but
yeah, you ain't not gonna get in a lump.
But if I want four,
it's their money anyway. It's taxpayers' money, Chauncey.
I don't need a whole nation. I need about 7 employees. Okay. I give y'all $1,200 apiece in payment plans, though.
Yeah, it's not small like he went to his bank account and got that money.
Yeah, he got it from you.
Taxpayers' money that he was using.
He got it from you.
Yeah.
So that's it. Just make you think like man, it's a real struggle, but. Like I got 11 solid ways to build wealth. And before we get actually to this, I'm gonna wrap this show up with this comment before we get to here. And so I used to be a classroom teacher, so I work as in a role like a coordinator of student success, career specialist capacity. So I work with the counselor and administrator where we build the competencies with students and show them career paths. So we spend a lot of times in Zooms doing career readiness stuff.
Yep, I've seen them.
With the kids or with the community or with partnerships.
Okay.
So I'm having one conversation and we're watching, my coworker watches Zoom in another state, not even in our state at all. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to get ideas. And this question rolls up and he's so smart, our counselor. He said, in order to get people to say, you can't use the word retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a language barrier because they don't understand the meaning of match, 401ks, mm-hmm. pensions, and IRAs.
Yep.
They think the money is disappearing and they'll never see it again.
Because you can't spend it.
Because they can't spend it right away or they don't have direct access to it.
Right.
But when you say the word retirement, they think they done working. Now, I'm gonna share this with the audience, and I know Tony, this is your field. But when I hear the word retirement, I hear how to get there faster.
Okay.
How to get into something else quicker.
Yep.
When I hear the word retirement, I don't hear it's over. I hear, well, I did that. What's the next big thing that I can move because I use the tools and resources.
Mm-hmm.
To invest, to get myself to a place faster so I can do something else. And that's your journey, isn't it?
Yes, it is, man. That should be a part of your lifestyle.
Because okay, you retire before the actual age to walk out on that number.
Yeah.
So you didn't.
Occupations.
That's right. So you went to being a totally independent individual outside of punching the clock.
Yep.
Faster because of the tools they provided. That were not retirement, but they were the 401s, the IRAs, the investment tools to accelerate your process.
Absolutely.
And the word we talking about is compound interest. Our compound best friend. Interest. Not interest rates that you get charged for buying stuff.
Right.
But the compound. And I remember
they pay you for having your money invested in whatever vehicle it is that you're using.
Yep. I remember, and you helped me realize that we've been doing this probably like 3-4 years now. Probably was our first year. You brought a table in, and you showed me. And I just got back in to like really making sure my money was growing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you was like, "Look here, when you hit, I think 10 or something." You said when I hit that year,
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And you showed me. He was like, "It was a calculator you had. You had it in your phone, and it was like You put $350 in it. I remember like yesterday. And as soon as you put $350 in it, it said $700.
Okay.
Because it was 10 years invested. And I was like, wow, I said, that's like cheating. He was like, no.
No.
You done got to the point, you done passed the threshold of the investment where now every time you put something in, copycat. Yep. It's like you pouring water on it. And it's like, bloop, it's going to duplicate. Like when you're on a computer audience, this is what it does when you reach that 10-year, when you stay consistent. It's like Control-C. Control-C mean copy.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you get that 10 years, like, poof, that money show up again. Like, hold up, is that the fake 350 or is it real 350? No.
It's real.
It happened again. So it's like being in that space now, I'm like, man.
Yeah, it's as simple as that as if you receive 10% interest on $500,000 versus 10% interest on $50,000, right?
Yes, sir.
That's the difference. Because when you get to 500, your 10% is 50, all right? Where if it's only 50,000, 10% is only 5. So that's how fast your money grows. It grows, the more money you have, the faster it grows, is basically the moral of the story.
So in order to, so like somebody said, I ain't got no money, Chauncey. And we'll get into this next week, the 11 solid ways. I just like talking about the
We got to finish up the election and how it's going to affect us.
But I remember starting with $50.
Everybody started with something, right? When you came into this world, it's like you were talking about your parents. There was no silver spoon, right? You basically, the wealth that you've attained, you had to work at it. It wasn't like your dad threw you a trust fund like the Meyer family with $50 million.
Everything I know I do, I done had my head bust. Okay. Like they say in the hood, I done had my head bust and got back up and found somebody that was smarter than me.
Man.
Every time, like, oh, I'm not doing this by myself again. And I'm not saying I'm not doing it by myself. I'm a build a system and go ask the people that's been doing it longer than me and say, hey, man, I'm at this point. What does this look like for you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got to get into. So then when that $50 become the same $50 become $500 and you still on that investment plan, but now the number's larger.
Right.
You're like, hold on, I'm still doing the plan. And I forgot about I was doing the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want everybody to be.
That's it.
You're like, hey, man, this is growing in an exponential way. Now, if you understand math, exponential is you pass the square root. You going to numbers that you can't even believe.
Tripling and doubling, man. And a lot of times it takes what I call in life the significant emotional event to change your thinking, to change your paradigm as far as how you're going to handle investments. Mm. In other words, if you ever woke up one morning and realized you was broke, okay?
When that hit.
To me, that is a significant emotional event. If you went through bankruptcy, divorce, a lot of these things, if you don't learn, if these things don't force you to change,
you'll be right back in them.
All right? History, if it doesn't teach you a lesson, you will be apt to repeat it.
Yep. I was lying. And that's great. This is a good way to end the show because I was just thinking about that. It's like you read my mind, but I put it in this context. Like, a baby is born, and I think about it, and the baby come out, and they crying because they've been in the dark for 9 months.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, when they see the light, they like, whoo. But then when they become 3 or 4, they scared of the dark.
Yeah.
So I'll say, how could a baby go 9 months where they in the dark every day, but then when they become 3 or 4,
they're afraid of the dark.
They're afraid of the dark. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We condition people to be dependent, to live in darkness, mm-hmm. but they've been born in it. But it's like, hey, trust your plan.
Gotta have a plan, man.
Trust your plan. The plan got to be in place where you're like, okay, it's dark right now, but I know at the end of the tunnel, they said these numbers going to be here. I love looking at those charts when they say, if you're in your early 20s, $50. If you take $8,000, don't touch it for 30 years, it'll be this. It'll be $249. If you add $100 to it this every time, don't touch it.
It's the truth, man. It works.
Don't touch it. I'm like, don't touch it. That's $249 in 30 years.
Yeah. I gotta spend them in this money.
And then somebody else, oh, I'm gonna be too old to have that. I can't. What I'm gonna do with $249,000 at 60? Well, I know some people at that age.
You're gonna live real good.
They looking good, living good, traveling, laughing every day, every time I see them. So, but then I know some people also. Now, I ain't say I know some people, but I've heard of some scenarios where some people 60 and they still doing backbreaking work or somebody that's in their 20s.
I know them. Okay. And it's, retirement is not really, you know, we put an age on retirement, right?
Right,
well,
sir.
At 65,
yes,
you can get Social Security. But if you getting Social Security and that's your only source of income, you're living in poverty.
Night.
Okay.
You're going to be in the dark for real. Grown, you're going to be scared of the dark.
If you don't have any additional resources in which to help supplement your lifestyle, then you're going to live in poverty after you've worked all your life. So it's not the age, and when you retire, it's the amount of money you got.
That's right.
That allow you to retire.
At your age. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.